last night I got onto Rabbitohs radio and sitting on the couch after the Law and Order, and I started listening to a few of the older sessions that I hadn't heard. You guys are doing a remarkable job. I think it's a credit to you, your passion, the fact that you put so much time to preparing, getting your interviewers in and getting guys like Terry Fay, Bob McCarthy, Craig Coleman, Henry Morris. So from my perspective, I'm proud to be a sponsor, but you guys are doing a great job. So just keep up with the work, boys, because you bring a lot of enjoyment to people, especially during these tough times. There's only so much TV you can watch. I encourage people to switch on to Rabbitohs Radio and the podcast. I've told everyone here. I've sent an email out a couple of weeks ago. And, yeah, we're happy to be and proud to be a sponsor of yours. So keep up the good work.
Rabbitohs Radio podcast, Grant Chappell, Steve Maven, Darren Brown.
Chaps is red hot here, so my phone was running hot there for a while. But
could you catch him?
Well, only if I got a bit of a start.
It's great for rugby league, but more importantly, it's great for the mighty Rabbitohs.
Welcome to another edition of Rabbitohs Radio. My name is Grant Chappell. I'm joined in lockdown by two former Rabbitohs, Darren Brown, Steve Maven. What's doing, boys?
Hello, chaps. Hello, Brownie.
Yeah, g'day, boys. A little bit of a strange setup for this week's episode. Chap said, we're in lockdown. We're in our own homes here and having a three-way conversation over the phone.
Yeah, sure are, boys. Things have gone into that phase three, as I said at the end of last episode. We'll see how the world is 7 days later, and a lot of things have changed. And just for me personally, I was out surfing at Maroubra, as I do most days, last Saturday. Free as you can be, go down, have a surf. There's plenty of people on the beach, and the beach inspectors were constantly reminding people, go down, have a swim, leave the beach. Don't hang around. There's a lot of people hanging around having coffees and stuff like that, where you should be down there exercising, moving along, getting in and out of the water, doing your surf, going home. But no one listened to the beach inspectors and the police, and they set all the shark alarms off, and they shut the beach there at about 20 to 12, and it's been shut ever since, boys. So it really hit home there, boys. A lot of changes.
Yeah, it's terrible times. As you can probably notice, we are recording this over the phone, so we do apologise for any dip in our sound quality, but it is what it is, and we'll just have to move on, and then once we get back to normal, we'll get back into the Rabbitohs radio studio together. But yeah, chaps, I'm the same, mate, at work. I work on the R&D counter and I'm dealing with truck drivers, and I'm using bucket loads of hand sanitizer, wiping everything down constantly, looking at people differently. So it's not good, and we can only hope that this disaster ends quickly and we can get back to normal.
It's no secret everyone's lives have changed over the past, 7 to 14 days, and so it should, because we need to get on top of this epidemic, I suppose, or pandemic, or however you want to call it. But yeah, my life's changed definitely. I find myself training at home more often these days, and rather than going to the gym and have to scrounge around and get some weights, so I had a little bit of training equipment at home. It wasn't enough to get me through. So, I've got my daughter at home from school. She's doing homeschooling, and my missus has been laid off from work. So, it's not all doom and gloom, but like everyone keeps saying, we've just got to do our best and get through it.
Yeah, I mean, obviously the lineups at Aldi, the crack of dawn, my missus tried to go around there this morning to get some toilet paper. We're running dry, and I think there's a couple 150-metre line there at River Junction at Aldi. And I was at the shops the other day, just at Matcherville, and this Sheila pulled up at the lights. I was crossing the road with the kids and the dog, and I noticed she's in the car by herself. She had a full mask on. A mask on her face, and she also had swimming goggles on, boys. I didn't get that one, but she was in the car by herself. It was quite,
she might have just come from Heffron.
Well, maybe she didn't have time to take them off. I don't know, but you've seen some strange things out there. I'm waiting to see Bubble Boy roll down the street from Sidefield. But anyway,
you can't be too cautious, but so
no, you can't be. I don't make fun of people taking every measure they can, because it's as serious as it gets. You can see those statistics that are just spiking day in, day out, boys. What about some shout-outs, Mava?
Shout-outs brought to you by Export Freight Systems. And, yes, so to all the Rabbitohs staff who may lose their jobs, we spoke to Mark Ellison last week, and I feel sorry for you, but it's not just those. There's people all through the community that have been affected and have lost their jobs. One of my best mates, Jeffrey Ducker, lost his job at Jet Pets, and he's already had 4 knockbacks. So it's just devastating for him. He might have to go on the dole. So shout out to you, Jeffro. And some good news, a shout out to Neil Duncan from the South Sydney Rabbitohs fan club on Facebook, whose poster I signed in 1988 at Darling Harbour when he was a 17-year-old kid on holiday from Scotland. And he tells me he's been a Rabbitohs fan ever since. He posted the a photo of the poster, and you can see my signature on there. So just was a little bit of a, brought a smile to my face, and I thanked him.
I tagged you in that one, Mova. It was a good one, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was good. You know, he said he's...
great story.
He said he went and bought a red and green jersey after that, and he had no idea about the rich history of our club, and he's been a fan. That was 32 years ago. Been a fan ever since. And also a shout-out to our mate Carpo from Crashing the Carpenters. He's given us another song, There's Many a Slip, and it's inspired by a conversation he had with the great John Sattler. And we'll get him on the show in a couple of weeks to talk about it.
He's got some good hits, Carpo, hasn't he?
Yes. And that's going to be released
great songs, Carpo.
And that's going to be released as a single in the next few weeks. And you will hear bits of that during this episode. It's very rock and rolly. Toe tap of that one, so listen out for that. You got anything, boys?
I'll shout out to all the airline staff that have been laid off, both at Virgin and Qantas. Like I said before, my Mrs. Belinda has been laid off, and my son Jaden, who also works at Qantas, he's survived for the time being. He's in freight, so they're lasting a little bit longer than what the passengers are. But a shout out to all them. The tough times ahead, but once again, we've just all got to stick together and get through this.
Just a shout out to Bo and Gail, really good friends of mine. They've got 2 young kids. They both work in the airline industry, and they both lost their jobs within 24 hours last week. And bang, they're straight on to Centrelink. Got a few of their loans frozen up and stuff like that. So it's quite sad. And also a big fan of the show. I should have shouted him out last week. I got to actually meet him at the South Sydney season launch down there in the city. And Gus Gallen won on Twitter. Gus Gallen, good on you, Gus. Shout out to you, mate. Hope you're doing well out there, buddy.
Yeah, let's go to Rabbitohs News, brought to you by the juniors. You just mentioned the juniors before, chaps, and they're shut down across the board at all their clubs, but the Bistro Rouge at the Juniors Malabar is open for takeaway and delivery, and we'll post details of that on the episode webpage. So the chow feed up there is very, very nice, so you can still get some food there and get it delivered.
Good food up there, boys.
Yeah. Now, you members, you probably would have received the email from the Rabbitohs asking for people to pledge their money back, and I know I did and my dad did, and that's a good thing. So they're just asking people to, whether we get back in the comp this year or not, that you can leave your money with the Rabbitohs, and that's a good initiative. Also, the Borough are starting a campaign headed by Damo Batty and Jerry Lissing, where they're asking people to donate to the Rabbitohs to help them stay viable. So, shout out to you boys.
Good fan club, the Borough. Great fan club.
They are.
You mentioned them on the show a lot.
Yeah, great. Great initiative from the Borough, and get behind it.
Okay, now the other bit of news is, the big news is that Shane Richardson quit this year, and it was reportedly he got a $320,000 payout, and there was a bit of a blow-up about that when other staff have lost their jobs. There's also reports that it was because of the fallout with Sam Burgess, and there's other reports that Sam has had a fallout with Russell Crowe, so a bit of news there. What's going on behind the scenes?
It's all happening behind the scenes.
We heard a while ago that Sam Burgess may be taking over as CEO, and I sort of like the sound of that. We'll see what happens.
Well, there was a couple of reports a few weeks ago where Richo was just about on his last legs and Russell saved him. So I don't know how true that is. And look, it's not really up to us to report with what is going on behind the scenes, because you never believe everything that you read in the papers. And but you know, by all reports, Richo leaving, it wasn't all down to easing the financial state of the club. He was at loggerheads with a couple of people behind the scenes.
Yeah, he's not the most likable character, Richo, in terms of I think he's a bit of an introvert, boys. He's a very shy sort of guy, so probably comes across as someone that's a bit snobby. But he has done a good job. He's put together a lot of good rosters over the years, boys. I've got to take my hat off to him. He was part of the resurgence where we won the 2014 Grand Final. I think he's been a part of five or six squads, made the top four. So he's a smart operator, and whoever gets hold of him will certainly be looking to improve, whoever that may be.
Yep. The other bit of Rabbitohs news was the players on social media. Now, Alex Johnson's made a couple of TikToks, and one of them was with all the boys in Adidas gear, or Adidas, however you want to say it, and that was a cracker. And he recently did another one that went viral where he sang a love song to a football. And we've just got a bit of audio of that. So have a listen to this.
When somebody loved me, everything was beautiful. Every hour spent together, this within my heart. And when she was sad, I was there to dry her tears. And when she was happy, so was I. When she loved me.
Now, that song, we can tell you, is from Toy Story 2, when Jessie sings to Woody when she's all sad, and it's the song is When She Loved Me.
That post took in 4 hours.
Yeah,
I've seen a bit of an interview on Foxtel where they'll ask an AJ about that post, and he actually said it took him 4 hours to do. So they've got a little bit of time on their hands now, these boys.
Yep.
In isolation. Good luck to them. It's all in good fun.
There's some good.
I might pass him on Mavo's number, because I reckon Mavo could edit that in a lot earlier than 4 hours, boys. How about that?
100%. Yeah.
Just a quick one. How many TikToks have you taken part in, boys?
I haven't done it yet. No, I haven't
done any.
Nah, I know.
I know Jill Simons does a few.
Jezza loves a TikTok.
Jezza, our mate Jezza. He likes.
Shout out to Jez. He doesn't.
On there with his daughter and
yes,
doing a bit.
He doesn't with
his
daughters. So they're a lot of fun.
I know Latrell does a lot. Latrell and Jimmy the Jet have been doing a lot.
They've been doing a lot. Yeah. So look, it looks like it's a lot of fun, but we're quite busy here producing Rabbitohs Radio, so I've got a lot of time to TikTok on the side. And the other one we'll make mention of is Damien Cook made one on game day in his jersey. So he got fully kitted up and went through an exercise routine, and he fast-forwarded the vision.
They've all been getting in. I suppose they're going to try and get creative over the next month or two or a couple of months, however long this goes on. And I think we're all doing that. At the moment, I'm doing things I haven't done in a long time either.
Yep.
Well, I've started gardening again. I'm not much of a gardener, but anyway. I've been given the task of ripping up this tree. It's been in the ground for about 5 years, so I don't know.
Mavo's a tree lopper.
I am. I'm an arborist.
But unfortunately, you can't go over there.
No, I can't come and help you.
He could do it while I'm at work.
Yeah. No, thanks.
Boys, is that about it for Rabbitohs news?
It is. So let's move on to our big interview this week with Adam Hippo Hieronymus, who has just recently won his first Group 1 on Shout the Bar in the Vinery Stud Stakes at Rosehill Gardens. And just have a listen to this.
Shout the Bar in front from Probabil and Nudge. Shout the Bar goes on to win the Vinery. Shout the Bar, great front-running performance. And Shout the Bar, Adam Hieronymus for Waterhouse and Bott.
Okay, we've got Rabbitohs supporter and now Group 1 winning jockey, Adam Hippo Hieronymus, on the line. Welcome to Rabbitohs Radio, Adam.
Thanks for having me.
Where are you from and what was it like growing up there?
I grew up in Cowra. It's great growing up there in the country. And obviously, Mum and Dad still live out there. I don't get really a chance to get home that much anymore, but still got plenty of friends out there. So it was great growing up there.
Yep, and we'd just like to know how you ended up as a South supporter, mate.
probably through my grandfather. He's a massive South supporter, and having just grown up with him, just followed him, and yeah, ended up South supporter. And obviously through the times when we weren't going that great, lost plenty of games when I was a kid, but then coming on the other side of it and be supporting them when they've got back through the comp and ended up winning a comp, fantastic.
You've stuck solid there, mate, and that's what South supporters do. We stick fat with the mighty South Sydney Rabbitohs. Is there a game that you can remember going to that stands out in your mind in your childhood, mate, that sort of you'll never forget?
Not really. I didn't really get a chance to go to many games sort of growing up with Carol. Obviously, we'd sort of get over to Canberra every now and then because that was the closest place for us to go to football, and my brother was a Raiders supporter, so not really remember anything, but I try to get to the games like once a year if I can, but it's quite hard with the races on Saturdays and being busy all the time.
You got a pretty fixed schedule there, mate, I suppose. I mean, I have a little chat. How did you get into horse racing? Obviously, your father's a former jockey.
Yeah, obviously growing up, the logical option for a lot of kids is to follow in their father's footsteps, and that's all I wanted to do. My uncle Neil, he was a jockey as well. He was a mad South supporter, and obviously grandfather was a very good jockey in his own right. So it was just a natural progression, and the only thing I wanted to do.
It's in the blood, mate.
Yeah, you were destined to be a jockey with champion jockeys on both sides of the family, mate.
Yeah, definitely. So everything's worked out well.
I did see a quote where it said, you said when you were a young bloke, you weren't that interested in riding. You just wanted to play footy and sport and get up to no good with your mates.
Yeah, pretty much. I used to watch the races Saturdays, every Saturday, and I used to follow the racing, but I'd never ridden a horse. I had no interest in riding a horse, and probably wasn't until I was about the age of 16. And Dad thought, well, if you want to be a jockey, you've got to learn to ride, and that's where it went.
Yeah, right. So, did you play footy, mate? Was you a halfback?
The hooker.
Oh yeah.
Wasn't tough hooker big. In the middle, eh?
Yeah, it wasn't real big, but. Used to do my best.
There you go, mate.
Well, that's worked out good. Not being real big's worked out good now, hasn't it?
Yeah, buddy.
Brownie, you got something for him?
Yeah, mate. Hippo, just back onto the racing, mate. I think you've rode over 400 winners, mate. Can you tell us a little bit about your first winner?
My first winner was in Grafton for John Shelton. I was apprentice up there for a while and started off with him. And yeah, I think the horse won with me on board. I didn't win on the horse, pretty much. It done it all for me, so it was fantastic.
Mate, just give us a little insight into your journey as a jockey through your apprenticeship and how you ended up with the great Gay Waterhouse.
Yeah, look, obviously I started off riding in the country where a lot of apprentices sort of start off their first 12, 18 months, and I started up there in Grafton with John Shelton, and he was a good boss and still a good friend now. I speak to him quite regularly, and he's a good trainer. And then I come down to Sydney, and I was apprenticed to Jason Coyle for a little bit. I just sort of floated along, and I wasn't real happy with the way I was progressing more than anything. And I was riding a little bit of track work for Gay, and obviously she's the master. And I just thought, for me to get to where I want to be, I need to be around her or work for her or something. And I approached her, and originally she said no. She said, I don't need you as an apprentice. I don't use apprentices. And once we had a chat, and sort of week went by, and thought about it, and she took me on. And then since then, like 6 months after that, she even said herself, I can't believe how well things worked out. And it's really grown from there, you know. Each year it's just progressed, and we've ended up in a very good position now.
Yeah, mate, you said that she didn't want you or she didn't need you. Was that because she had other apprentices, or she just wasn't interested in you as a jockey?
Well, I was riding for her a little bit track work, just sort of once a week, and she had her stable jockeys at those stages. I think Nash rode majority of the horses and rode heavyweights, and Tommy was there at the same time as a stable jockey and rode the lightweights. And she probably doesn't really use apprentices that much, and it was more for that. She pretty much said she didn't want to waste my time, she didn't need me, and she couldn't give me any rides. And once I explained to her that I wasn't really worried about the rides from her, it was more so I just wanted to work for her, and I needed someone to be hard on me and teach me and make me bring out what's best in me and make me a better jockey, and I think it has worked.
You always got to start from the bottom, and you did start with the bottom at Gay, because you were doing a lot of travelling. You was always down at Kembla, and And obviously now you've worked your way up to a Group 1 winner, mate, and well done.
Yeah, it's been a long, long journey. And, you know, she's been hard on me and made me do some things that I probably wouldn't have done. But it's more so just to make me a better person and a better rider. And I'm very happy where I've got to and what I've been able to achieve.
Obviously, yeah. Sorry, Mavis.
You go. You
Adam,
go.
On Saturday, obviously, it was a career highlight day for yourself. That would have been a big moment for your family. Can you talk us through that whole day, mate, and the process that a jockey has to take on a big day like Saturday?
Yeah, well, I'm a pretty relaxed person, so it's just another day, really. I just got up and I had to lose probably a kilo and a half, so I hopped in the bus and lost that weight and took the dog out for a walk and just went to the races like any other day. And obviously it was probably made out to be a two-horse race, but I was happy with the way my horse was going with track work and whatever else. I was quietly confident she'd run a big race, but it was just whether how good the other two horses went and were and the way they were ridden. But as it turned out, everything fell my way and we were able to get the result.
Gay, after the race, she spoke highly of you. She's obviously got big raps on you, mate, for good reason, that she said you rate the horses perfectly and you don't scrub the ears off them, but you just seem to get them going, and it's a real art that you can ride like that. So Gay's obviously helped you out, but she's got a high opinion of you, mate.
Yeah, I think it's important. I ride track work for her a number of days a week, and I think it's quite important to sort of know how the horses are going. And I've been there a while now. I know how she wants them ridden, and everyone sort of like has the opinion of the horses, or they all have to lead, but it isn't the case. They're all taught to jump well, and they put themselves there, and if something goes too quick, well, the option is to come back and let them go. But more often than not, they'll land in front without doing too much work, which is a big advantage.
Yeah, because we're going to show the vision of the race on our episode webpage, and we're going to play some audio of that. But for people that don't know, you were up against $1.75, an odds-on favourite in Funstar, and everyone thought that...
I was actually on it, Mavo, so...
and your horse jumped and led, and like I think you said, that you didn't expect it to win at any stage, and when you got to the straight, it just looked like they were all going to go straight past you, but you just kept it going in the lead, and it was a real.
She's a battle on well, didn't it, Hibba?
It was a good ride.
Yeah. Yeah, she's a very unassuming horse, like this. I mean, you don't know. I knew she'd keep finding, but I wasn't sure during the run. I didn't really expect to lead. I was happy to lead, but I didn't expect to lead. If something wanted to go, I would have been happy to take the sit in behind me. But I knew once I sort of picked her up before the turn that she was always going to give me a lot more than what she was going to look like on TV. Like, you watch the replay at the top of the straight, you probably have your doubts, but I was quite confident that she'd always keep finding and finding, as she did last start. She's a very unassuming horse. She's a very good horse as well.
You'll move on to the Oaks, the Group 1 Oaks, and you could be, with a bit of luck, you'll have another Group 1 in the trophy cabinet in the next week or two.
Yeah, I hope so. I've always thought that would be her race, is the Oaks. Obviously, she hasn't had the ideal preparation with a couple of the races that she had to go to early on in the career, just for the fact of being no races about for her. But once she was able to get to the Keith Nolan, the Kembla Classic last start, and obviously progress to the Vinery, I think that the Oaks is going to be well suited to her.
Yeah, good luck in that one, mate. But on the current climate, every human on earth is experiencing some strange times out there with this coronavirus and whatnot. How much has it changed the whole horse industry at the moment, the horse racing industry, whether it's during the week or on race day, mate?
Yeah, obviously not having the crowds there on the big day is a big thing, but they've done a great job, Racing New South Wales and all the participants, jockeys, trainers, in doing the right thing so we can get by it. I think it's quite important that we continue to race. It's a massive industry, and I don't think the general public realise how big an industry it is and how much money it does generate for the government. So I think it's important that we need to keep racing, and everyone's doing the right thing. So hopefully we can continue on.
Mate, just going back to the race the other day, you said it was a great front-running display. Mate, I personally drove a winner in harness racing, and I led all the way as well, mate. So it must be something in the blood with these Rabbitohs that we can lead all the way. So, mate, 33-1, I've got to plug it somewhere.
Get to the front and keep improving.
Keep them going.
That's it, mate. They've got to go around you,
mate. Just back to the Rabbitohs, mate. You've been a long-time supporter. Any favourite players over the years?
I would have to say John Sutton. to do what he does, to come through and play all his childhood football in the area, play for the one club south, go on and captain then and take them to a grand final. Yeah,
unbelievable, isn't it?
Yeah.
Fairy tale stuff.
Yeah, definitely. I think, he'd have to be up there as one of the best.
Have you watched that grand final, mate? I know everyone's got a story about that day.
I just watched it at home. I was too scared to go to the game.
You didn't want to mock him.
I thought I was best off watching it at home by myself and I could watch the game properly and kick him home.
We're all smiling talking about that. That story is just of that day. We're going to keep retelling that on this show.
So what involves with a jockey on a day-to-day basis, Adam? What time you've got to get up? And you've probably been up for a couple of hours now. You said you ride track work for Gay. What's involved with a regular day for a jockey?
I've been quite busy of late, going to plenty of meetings and that. I try to ride track work for Gay probably 3-4 times a week, so I get there about 4 o'clock and I'm finished up there, track work about 6 o'clock, and then depending on some mornings I have trials or generally races. I'm riding probably 4 or 5 days a week now, so I pretty much come home. If I can get a quick sleep, I'll have a quick sleep, and then jump in the bath, lose weight that I've got to lose, and get to the races. And then sometimes don't get home till 6, 7, 8 o'clock, and then it's do it all again tomorrow, and that's pretty much my week.
You mentioned earlier that Gay had a heavy jockey and a light jockey. What are you classified as? Are you a heavy jockey where you always got to be losing weight?
Yeah, definitely. I think pretty much every meeting I go to, I've got to lose weight, depending if it's 1 kilo or 2 kilos, or the night before I have to lose 1 kilo and then more the next morning. But yeah, it's manageable. But I just try to not to ride too light. Once I start riding too light, and then that's when I start to get tired and it takes its toll on the body. So I just
lose all the energy in that. Yeah.
Hard. Well, I'm always trying to lose weight too, mate. So we got that in common, mate. So before we let you go, the Vinery Stud Stakes was a $500,000 race. So you had a big win on Saturday. Did you celebrate with family and friends, mate? And I know there's a gang of mates, the Hippo Crew.
I've got one quick one too.
Okay, sweet.
Yeah.
Well, obviously you can't do a great deal at the moment. I'm tipping if there wasn't the restrictions, it would have been a very rowdy night. But my cousin Blake is my best mate, and I celebrated with him and my wife, and we went over to Uncle Neil's place and just had a few champagnes and kicked on him.
That's Neil Payne, isn't it?
Yep.
Yeah, Payne. Yeah, he's good man, Payne.
Yeah.
Now, I know I'm a mad sports man. I'm on every sport in the world, normally on the punt, but I've been finding myself watching a hell of a lot of race at midweek and whatnot, and at night time. When's your next ride, and can you tell us a bit about it and throw a tip at us, mate?
On Wednesday at Rose Hill, I've got 6 rides.
A
number of them are for Gay, but I've got one there for Gerald Ryan called Pinvinterville. He's a nice horse, and he'll probably be my best ride that day.
Group 1 Hippo, thanks for joining us on Rabbitohs Radio.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Well, there you go, Hippo. What a great bloke, a mad South Sydney fan. And the punter's pal, he's the punter's favourite. So he's a great jockey. And more importantly, he's a mighty Rabbitoh.
He's a big Rabbitohs man, Brownie. Growing up in Cowra out there in the bush. And obviously it sounded like it come from his grandfather down to his... Even his uncle was a mad Rabbitohs fan.
Neil Payne.
No different to any of us. I know Brownie's dad's a mad South fan. My dad, Reggie, and Dick Maven.
Yep.
They're all South fans. And that's...
Yep.
Being a South man, mate, it's in your blood and it gets handed down to you.
It was.
That's who we are.
So, Hippo was destined to be a Rabbitohs fan and destined to be a jockey because he had, like I said, champion jockeys on both sides of the family. So,
just speaking of Group 1, I'd just like to give my dad a shout out. He was a Group 1 harness racing driver. That's where I got my skills, driving the harness horses. So, shout out to Les Brown, a Group 1 trainer.
Yes, Les Brown. Legend. Les Brown, legend. It was. We're only speaking to Nolene and George Piggins at the juniors a couple of weeks ago, and they said, "How's your dad?" And we've had some great times with the great Les Brown. So he's a bit of a ledge, Brown senior.
Good man, Les.
Okay, we'll move on to Rabbitoh of the Week, brought to you by Bourke Street Bakery, and this week it is Michael Hambley from Kensington Produce. in Banks Meadow there. Now, they sell horse and pet food, and they have a massive Rabbitohs sticker on the wall there. Now, we're going to get a photo of that and post it on the episode webpage. But thanks to the team there of Mick and the boys at Kenzo Produce. Mick's dad, Steve, runs the business. He's actually a rooster, so there's a bit of banter goes on there. But you have won a free coffee voucher for a month at any Bourke Street Bakery store across Sydney, any of the 14 stores. So enjoy that, mate.
Just on that produce, that is a third-generation run business, Kensington Produce. Rex Hambley actually started the business. It's probably Michael's grandfather, I'd say. He was a jockey and a trainer himself, and ventured into the produce side of things. And well, a couple of years ago, in 2005 to 2009, they supplied 8 out of the 10 top trainers all their food and bedding, and they also supplied to 30 Group 1 winners through that period. So they're obviously doing a great job with all their food, and make sure you get down there and have a look at all their produce. It's not only horses. You know, they supply dog food, cat food, rabbit food, chook food, everything to do with produce. So get down there and have a look at this Australian-owned operation.
And they're in the same street there as Bourke Street Bakery down there at Banks Meadow. I wonder if he's a relation of Gary Hambley, really good forward in the early 80s, late 70s.
I'm not sure.
Is he, boys? One of our listeners out there might know that. Gary Hambley, same spelling?
Gary Hambley, botany legend. Now, my missus, I think she's asked him, and I don't think he is, but he's a botany legend. Played for the Botany Rams or Botany United back in the day, and he played in the first State of Origin, so he's a great bloke. Shout out to you. Big Gary Hambley.
Is he a botany ram? There you go.
Yes, he was.
I think he's married to Darryl Neville's sister, I think. Is that right?
He is indeed. Yep. So.
Oh, there we could get the scoop off Dirty Darryl when we speak to him at work next
week. Yeah, and so my missus has had horses for years, so that's how she knows the Kenzo Produce people. She goes in there and they're a great team of people, and she's the one who spotted that big Rabbitohs sticker. So, yeah, a friendly team down there. So for all your produce needs, hit them up. But we've got a bit of a racing flavour this show.
It's like 2KY this year, I was going to say. It's like 2KY this week, this episode.
Group 1 jockeys. And
well, this is the only sport still going.
Yeah.
It is too.
Yeah, well, we said that. We said before that we wanted to diversify into a few other sports and a few other topics, and this has given us that opportunity because there's no footy on and we're talking about stuff that's not rugby league, but as long as there's a Rabbitoh flavour to it, happy to run with it.
And we've also got our first tip on the show by Adam Hieronymus, as you just heard.
Yes.
Tomorrow at Rose Hill, race 6, number 10, I think it was, boys, wasn't it?
Number 14.
There you go.
Yep. And it's trained.
14, was it?
It's trained, yeah, it's trained by Gerald Ryan. It's got a good record, so you'd be nuts to not have a look at that, have a couple of bucks on it, and we'll...
I jumped on and got it.
You're on.
We did record that interview yesterday, listeners. We will admit that. I jumped on and got a fixed odds at $10 for the win it was yesterday. I don't know about today, but anyway, there you go. We'll see, mate. But we might chop off to another break here on Rabbitohs Radio.
You've got to get back on. It's just like riding a bike. So get back on. The brightest dawn can follow the darkest night. Change it up, boys.
Rabbitohs Radio is proudly brought to you by Bourke Street Bakery. Export Freight Systems. Email ian@efsau.com.au and mention Rabbitohs Radio, he'll take care of you. NG Farah have forged an enviable reputation for consistently delivering outstanding results. Reach out, speak up, educate, don't give up, burn brightly, be exceptional, rise. Rabbitohs Radio is proudly brought to you by The Juniors.
Now we're on to NRL News, brought to you by NG Farah Real Estate. Yesterday we had the opportunity to speak with Glenn Farrer, and here's his story now. We're fortunate enough to have Glenn Farrer on the line. Welcome to Rabbitohs Radio, Glenn.
Thanks, Darren. Proud to be with you today. I hope all you guys are staying well and keeping your distance.
Where are you from, and what was it like growing up there?
Mate, I was born in Maroubra. Lived there for the first 12 years of my life, and then Mum and Dad decided to buy a house in East Botany. I reluctantly moved, but yeah, lived in Pagewood, East Botany all my life. I'm a Maroubra boy, and I love this area. I love it, eat it, breathe it, and yeah, for me, it's the best part of the world.
It is.
Mate, NG Farrer, tell us a little bit the journey of NG Farrer Real Estate.
Yeah, my dad started the business in 62, and that was on the recommendation of a mate of his who said he was an accountant. He said he should get into real estate. So he got a job part-time at Maroubra Junction selling properties, and then decided to open up a one-man band in 62. I came into the business in 1980, and it was still a one-man band then. It was his dad and the secretary, and then Marty came in 1985. So since then, we've really taken it to the next level. And now we are, you know, we've got a team of 60. We've got three offices between Kingston, Mascot and Coogee. And, you know, real estate, we live it, we breathe it, we love it.
And still today, it's a family-owned business, isn't it?
Still family-owned. We've got, like, you know, we reward people who have been loyal to us. So, you know, guys like Cameron Early, Theo Karangis, Ken Smith, you know, Damien Caruana, they are all our stakeholders in the business because we believe that people are our greatest asset. So we have made them stakeholders, but Marty and I still are major shareholders in the business. So
and I believe now you've got a former Rabbitoh who sells real estate for you as well.
Mate, well, I've always been partial to employing former Rabbitohs. Back in the
like
day,
myself.
David Cruikshank and Tom, that was a bit of a disaster. You kicked a bit of arse around. You were here for at least 9 years, and you've done really well selling real estate because it's not too different from playing football in terms of, you know, teamwork and what you have to do in terms of your preparation and you know, just that competitive aspect of it. And now we've got Bo Champion, who's really doing good stuff. He's a part of our team and has been for the last couple of years. But I'm a South man through and through, so I've always been a little bit partial to give, you know, helping out the South boys, and you know, if I can give them a job or help them in a career, I always will.
No worries, Glenn. All those blokes that you mentioned, they're all locals, born and bred, like you said.
Oh, yeah, they are.
And there's nothing wrong with that in this day and age, mate. Now, we all know where the whole world's experiencing a very strange, unusual period in our lifetime here, the coronavirus, the COVID-19. What sort of effects has it had on the real estate game and your business in particular, mate?
Well, it has a flow-on effect. So if people lose their jobs, they can't pay their rent. If people lose their jobs, they can't pay their mortgages. So we've got a really big management here. We've got 2,500 tenants. We're lucky because that will keep our business going. That's our bread and butter. But we have experienced lots of our tenants have got hardship, but we've got really good landlords. What we're doing is we're just coming to the party. If anyone wants a rental reduction because of hardship, we're giving them the rental reduction. We don't want the properties to become vacant. That's no good for our landlords. So if you're living in a $1,000 property and you ring us up and say, for the next 3 months, I really can't afford that, well, we'll sit down, we'll talk to them, and we'll come to terms what they can afford. And that's just working. As the Prime Minister said, we've all got to work together, and we've got to play our part in that, working together. And we're doing that. So our business is still very viable. Obviously, we're going to take a massive haircut in sales. Sales is a really big part of our business. The smart money is coming out now, what we call the smart money. So when everyone's sitting on the fence, the smart money comes out and buys, and you can get good value. If you're buying a property today, there is no doubt in my mind that you're going to buy cheaper than you were 3 weeks ago.
I spoke to you last week, and you sold $10 million worth of property, and this week you're going to do the same.
We sold $10 million the week before last. We sold $10 million last week, and we're on track to sell another $10 million this week. That's phenomenal. We've got great people. We've got guys like David Lee, who just tied up a deal in Botany for $9 million. We've got guys like, you know, Marty Farrow, who's just in a deal in Coogee for $6 million, and guys like Theo Karangis, who's just done you know, a whole heap of seals in Rose Bay. Cameron Early, who's just got, so we've got really good people, but it's tough. And you've got to know how to put seals together. You've got to know how to talk to people, and you've got to explain to your vendors. You've got, your delivery's got to be right. If you're going to take a haircut, people have got to believe that they're taking a haircut for the right reasons. And if they have to sell, they have to sell. So at the moment, business as usual. We've scaled down a lot of our operations to comply with government regulations. And we're lucky that a lot of our staff can work from home, but really it's business as usual. We've got 60 staff. We just came out of a meeting, and our mandate is not to lose one staff member. So we're we're a big family here at Farrers, and we don't want to lose anyone. So all the partners have come together. We're all taking a hit on our dividends and our wages to keep everyone employed.
So we can't snip you.
Absolutely not.
Now, well, mate, just for our listeners, so if anyone's thinking of selling or buying, it's a you're the man to speak to, because you are a lifelong Rabbitohs fan. So have you got some memories of being a South fan, some favourite players, favourite game?
Oh, mate, you know what? Me and Marty used to get the 95 from River Road straight down Cleveland Street, get off at Redfern and sit on the hill with our sandwiches and back in the day. You know, I remember the days when Charlie Frith, Robert Laurie, Mario Fenwick, Ken Stewart, even Bobby McCarthy in his later years. So we're South through and through. We love them. Terry Fay, he was a great South player, a legend, as we call it. And he was the one, really, we loved to watch Terry because he was just a crowd pleaser. But the Rabbitohs family is a big family, and when you're a Rabbitohs supporter, it's something that's in your blood. It's something that you can't.
Yep.
And we are so passionate that we're probably a little bit psychotic sometimes because we're one eye, but that's the way we are.
Yeah, we know.
And I remember watching, you know, I was a great fan of Brownies watching. I thought he was, you know, could have been a State of Origin player. I was a great fan of yours, Mavo. I mean, some of the things that you did on the field, you had pace to burn. You were so strong. I remember when you came on the scene in, you know, 18, 19, you were playing first grade. And, mate, a lot of my mates are South players, but I really connect with South Sydney people because we've got that common thread that we just love the Rabbitohs and we love everything they represent. Me and my son went in March in 2002. We, you know, to keep the club alive. And I've been a proud supporter and sponsor of the club, you know, since the Sean Garlick was captain back in the early mid-90s. So, yeah, it's been a long journey, but we love watching them on Friday night, and that's what we're missing now. We're missing the South games, but that's okay. That'll come back. Everyone's got to stop and pause. It's time to reset and just listen to the leaders and take advice from them, and we'll get through this together.
Back in the day, I remember scoring a couple of tries, and your banners were along the sideline.
Yeah, mate. Like, it's great. It's a great thrill to be a sponsor of a club like South, because you feel connected to it and you feel as though you're making your contribution to the club. We started off as small sponsors and then we ended up giving them, I think at one stage, you know, 20 or 30 grand every year. And we sponsor at least 25 community groups. So South went,
including Rabbitohs Radio.
Including Rabbitohs Radio.
Thank you. Thank you.
We thank you for that, Glenn. We thank you for your sponsorship, and all the listeners out there would feel the same, mate. Without sponsors like yourself, the Rabbitohs Radio would not be possible.
I'll tell you this is how I look at it. I sponsor people because I think of the great work that they do in the community. And we're very involved in the surf lifesaving. Look at the guys in the surf lifesaving. They patrol our beaches for free in the surf clubs. It's a great community service. So for us to be able to support those people is a great thing. To get actually some branding out of it, that's just a massive bonus. Mainly we do it because we believe we have to support the community that's always supported us. That's a part of our thought process. So supporting South was just taking it to that next level and, you know, going to the red and green balls. I've done lots of auctions at those red and green balls and, you know, watching Russell come in and take control of the club and really take the club to another level. That was really, really important for me because what you've got to understand, I was taking my son to the football since 1995, since he was 4 years old. And we watched for 10 years South getting beaten, never making the semi-finals. And for us to stick together, Mitchell and I, and be able to go to the footy and watch South win a comp in 2014, that was just fantastic. It was unreal. Just great from a supporter's point of view. So I thank Russell Crowe and all the people that made that happen. And I know that there's a lot of people, but it took Russell's vision and someone like him to get the club off the ground. And obviously George Piggins, who saved the club. He was another great player that no one was in total awe of in terms of what his contribution has been to South. Now, 2020 only just sort of kicked off. We only got a couple of games into it, unfortunately. What did you see there, mate? What did you like from those first couple of rounds, mate?
I liked the young players coming through. I really liked that, you know, those young forwards coming through. I think that they're really, really good. I love the halves. I think our halves are really strong this year. I think we've got some great back, great centres and great wingers too. I just think that we probably need to get a bit of game time and obviously, you know, form our combinations in our forwards. But I really see South as being a top six team this year. If the comp was going on the way it was, I thought that they have lots of credentials. And obviously, the Latrell Mitchell thing, he's going to be an asset to our club at the moment. He's a work in progress, and I'm not prepared to bag the guy. I know he's been copping a lot of stick from you know, people in the press, but he will be a major part of our club, whether he plays centre or fullback. Well, that's up to the coach to decide. But and there's nothing better than having the South East rivalry. It's fantastic. Like, you can call it what you want, but the South and East supporters are very, very similar in lots of ways. And it's funny. So many East supporters live in the South Sydney district, and so many South supporters live in the Eastern Suburbs.
Where is that border? The South Sydney Rabbitohs and the Mighty Roosters.
Mate, it's most definitely McPherson Street, in my opinion. Like, I know the Eastern Suburbs have encroached on taking Clovelly, and they want to take Clovelly, and now they're trying to take Coogee. But this is how I see it. I see from Bronte all the way down to Watson's Bay, and I see from McPherson Street down Clovelly, Coogee, across the Maroubra, down a little bay, across the Mascot. That's all, and obviously Redfern, Surry Hills, Alexandria. That's all South Sydney.
Fats, we go a long way back, me, you and Brownie. Now, we've got a mutual friend who listens to the show, Hilton the Bomber Thomas. So what about him? Can you tell us a little bit about our mate, Hilton the Bomber?
Well, he's very similar to you and me and Brownie, mate. I know I've been mates for you for 30 years now. And I remember, you know, kicking the footy around Hilton's backyard in, was it New Orleans? I was down there in South Maroubra. But, you know, Bomber's one of those guys that loves the Rabbitohs. He's a good man. He loves, he's just a guy. And what I love about Hilton, he's a garbo. And I don't judge people on what they do in terms of their profession. And he's South Sydney through and through. He's a great mate of mine. He's one of those guys that you can just laugh with. And you can laugh at too. And he doesn't mind if you have a laugh at him, because we all laugh. That's what we do. We take the piss out of each other. That's what mates do. And he's taken the piss out of me. But Bomber's he's an unusual character. He's been with the same girlfriend now for about 30 years now.
I was going to say, how is Susie?
Yeah, mate. How is she? Yeah, she's all right. But I think she's getting a bit sick of him now. But it's all good. Nah,
he's got a great laugh. When
he's
said,
a good bloke, Bomber.
When you said he's, we all
legendary.
Laugh.
He has got Coogee, that, isn't he?
His laugh, it's something else. Anyway.
Oh, yeah. His laugh is unbelievable. It's like a hyena. It's like, yeah. He's a funny bugger, but he's a good man. He rings me all the time, rings to check on my mum. How's your mum, Fats? How's the family? How are the kids? As a young, when I was married and bringing up the kids, Bom would always babysit my young kid, Stephen Mitchell. You know, mate, Kath and I would go out, I'd bring the Bomber up, and I'd say, what are you doing, mate? I knew he wasn't doing anything. He's sitting on the lounge. And I'd pick him up, bring him to the house. He'd babysit the kids. He'd fall asleep before them. But no, he's a good bloke.
Thanks, Fats.
See you, boys. Good time.
See you, buddy.
See you, mate.
Bye.
See you, mate.
Bye. Get on up. 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 Get on up.
was great to chat to Glenn yesterday on all things NG Fran, but he sort of also give us a bit of an insight into some of the changes due to the coronavirus of the real estate industry and just how much work they're doing behind the scenes, and not just property sales, but rental, you know, trying to help out those tenants and also the vendors and all that sort of stuff. And yeah, there's a lot more to it than I thought, boys. So I'm glad we did have a chat to Glenn, and thanks for your time there, Glenn.
Yeah, it was good. And I liked a bit about when he talked about going to Redfern Oval with his brother back in the day. That brought back memories for me, because I have fond memories of that, going there with my dad and my brother watching the Mighty Rabbitohs back in the day.
Yeah, sandwiches on the hill, boys. What about that? Catching a 3.95, I think he said.
Yep.
And then knocking into a couple of sangers on the hill. That did bring back memories, boys. Now we're going to get on to a couple of things in the NRL, boys. What do you got for us, Mova?
Well, there's a bit of news around the NRL. They have sent out a memo to all the players and have banned all contact training, so we sort of knew that. And there's a strict protocol for no autographs and kissing, etc. And you can read that article on our episode webpage. Now, the other news is the talk about this coronavirus drama has put a spotlight on the NRL and their mismanagement of the funds. There's not enough money there. They're spending $181 million annually. That's $500,000 per day. And they haven't invested in any property. They don't own the building they're in. There's no money to cover for this disaster. And there's reports of big salaries and other monies wasted on limousines and gifts of diamond rings. Also, the NRL failed to pay more than $15 million in players' retirement fund. And they don't have the cash to pay it back straight away. They also failed to pay $6 million to the Stress Clubs Fund.
Who's accountable for that, mate? Someone's got to be accountable for that.
There's got to be an investigation. You know?
It has to be.
To quote the great Jeff Tuvey.
Bring him up. Tell someone. Where's that money gone?
By the sounds of it, they've...
Well, boys, look, think of it. You two blokes played the game. How filthy would you be if you were one of the current players right now, dropping 80% of your wage, and then you find out that information, that not only have they mismanaged all the funds, they've actually been using your retirement fund money for day-to-day...
That's expenses. Right.
Yeah, I know.
It's like our company not paying our super.
Yep, it's not right. They've been dudding the clubs, the players, and the fans, and we'll just go through the news that's come out. So they've announced, the NRL has announced a $40 million rescue package for clubs. And key points are that each team gets $2.5 million. The NRL will reduce its operating costs by 53%, with a 95% reduction in staff. But get this, the executives will only be taking a 25% pay cut. And it's a bit outrageous. Clint Newton from the Players Association has asked for a please explain. So it just seems like the NRL had a meeting and they said, oh, we'll sack all the staff, we'll cut some costs, but we'll only take a 25% pay cut. So the only positive that may come out of this is that the spotlight's been put on the terrible mismanagement, and hopefully they get it right now and put systems in place and funding in place that's feasible and can keep this game alive going into the future. Just quickly, I was going to talk about a mate of ours, Luke Phillips, who has sent us down a heap of old DVDs of rugby league games. Now, he's got a massive library of all this footage, and he sent it to us, and we're going to edit some of that up and put it up on our socials, YouTube, and also use some of the audio on the show. So you can look forward to a whole lot of tries. We can reminisce.
Should we get together and commentate a game, the three of us?
I reckon we should.
Put new commentary to it. If you notice, Foxtel have been doing five or six games now, of famous games, and they're doing their own commentary again, fresh new stuff. A bit of a laugh with it.
Yep.
Oh, wow. That'll be good.
Yes.
That'll be good. And we can put it on our webpage. Now, I just wanted to touch on our webpage, Mavo, and you can explain to the listeners a little bit more. And I know we speak about it on a weekly basis, but I don't think we emphasise how good the webpage really is. I mean, I've only just started to learn a little bit more about the webpage. And if you go onto our website, you can have a look at our webpage on all the articles that we're talking about on today's show and on the last show. So you'll get to see a little bit about Adam Hieronymus, yep, Glenn Farrer, and all the subjects that we talk about. Mavo, just explain a little bit more about the webpage to the listeners.
Mavo, just a quick one before we move along from Luke Phillips and those DVDs.
Mm-hmm.
Have they got the one where you were playing for the Doggies in 91 and you scored a hat-trick brownie?
They got that one?
Well, I'm not sure. I'm not sure. Maybe I'll probably have to have a look at them. I haven't had a look at them yet.
Are they
but,
Mova?
Have
they
got that one? If we haven't got it, we'll get it. That's what I'm saying to you right now. We'll get that footage because we need that footage.
You did save your best footy for the Roosters, Brownie, didn't you, mate?
Yeah, I used to love playing the Roosters, whether it be at the Bulldogs, the Panthers, or the mighty Rabbitohs. I remember at the Rabbitohs, we used to have some mad stinks against the Roosters. A few all-ins there on a couple of occasions.
Do you remember any?
And it was pretty easy. Yeah, I remember plenty of them, mate. Craig Salvatore was one I used to have a run in with all the time. He's a good fella, Craig. Little David Helmet Truella.
Oh, yeah. I think he had the news agency in Coogee, David Truella, bottom of the street.
That was John Tobin.
John Tobin.
Always save your best footy for the Roosters. And I used to love playing. And like you just said before, I scored a hat trick at Belmore Oval. Playing for the mighty Bulldogs. I filled in for Terry Lamb that day, actually. I'd never played 5'8 before. And
big shoes to fill. Big shoes to fill there.
Yeah, well, I was a little bit nervous before the game, but Bar came up and gave me a few little instructions, told me what to do, and I followed his instructions, and I scored 3 tries.
Nice.
No better person to learn from. Terry Lamb, he said, what you've got to do is, we had a bloke by the name of Ewan McGrady playing.
Panda.
Robson's medal winner in 91.
Panda.
And he said, Bar said, mate, as soon as Ewan makes a break, just go down the middle of the field. And that's what I did. Come up with 3 meat pies.
How many tries did Terry Lamb score backing up down the middle of the field, boys? Yeah. I think he's probably the greatest exponent of that in the history of the game. Yep. Backing up down the middle. T. Lamb. Yep. Shout out to you, T. Lamb.
The best support player ever.
Yeah, and I actually backed him up one day.
Sure.
I backed him up one day playing for the Bulldogs.
And he didn't remember it.
He didn't remember it. But I do.
even better.
I remember it. Now, we're moving on to what Brownie said about the episode webpages. And yes, there is a lot of stuff on there to support every show. So we can only say so much in the episode, but there's a whole lot more you can go and see. You can read the people's Wikipedia pages, for example. You can watch YouTube videos on them. So there's a lot of extra stuff that we pile into our webpages for you to see. Now, they're easy to find. If you're on Apple Podcasts, you just scroll down to the episode. You just scroll down to the episode show notes, and there's a link there, or you can also find it on in Spotify as well in the notes, or on our socials. There's links to our website on our socials where you can listen to the show directly there as well. All right, so we'll move on now to the Brent Todd viral video that came out this week. We've got some audio of that. Have a listen to this.
Welcome back. Kiwi Test forward Brent Todd will sport new club colours in 1992. He'll trade the Canberra jersey that he's worn in 3 grand finals for that of the wooden spooners, the Gold Coast Seagulls. It's been the worst kept secret on the Gold Coast, but this is the signature that Wally Lewis and Larry Maloney have been waiting to add to that of State of Origin prop forward Steve Jackson's.
I was always going to come here no matter what. I made the decision way before the grand final. Well, mainly the Gold Coast is because the shield is a good look and I want to f*** more.
So, yeah, when that came out this week, I got it sent to me from about 4 or 5 different people, and Brent Todd going up the Goldie. Fond memories of going up there and playing.
Oh, wow. Boy, have you got any memories of hitting the night spots up there? I know I did. Went up there for schoolies. Well, I didn't go up there to play the Gold Coast, but
yeah. Old Melbourne's.
A bit of luck at times up there.
We go to going to Melbourne's and...
Yeah, it was always good time going up to the Gold Coast. You'd always, when the draw come out, the first team you'd look for is where you're playing the Gold Coast. You never really wanted to play them at home. You always wanted to play them away up there. And like Mavo said, you're sort of like, before the game in the dressing room, you're talking about what you're going to wear to Melbourne's. And so your mind was never really on the game.
Ah, that's right.
Your mind was never really on the game when you played the Gold Coast.
And maybe that's why that they haven't had a lot of success, because it's party town. And I remember the old Seagulls Club there, and we'd play at that ground. You'd go in there and have a beer. And so, yeah. So.
Well, yeah, you've only got to listen to our audio and have a listen to the mindset of the players who signed on to play there. So. I think that's our version of Las Vegas, boys. The Gold Coast.
It is.
If you want to draw a comparison or a line there.
Yeah, Viva Las Vegas. So we'll move on to Bray Fenasta, and he spoke this week on Fox about how he didn't sign with South and the circumstances around that. We've got some audio of that too, so have a listen to this.
But you lived this. You know, you were a South Sydney junior.
Yes, I have lived it, Mick, well and truly since the day I was born. You know, my Uncle George was captain, coach, president, everything of South Sydney. You know, I marched for South on a number of occasions. I did every time. I supported them. I was one red eye, one green eye. You know, when you're a South supporter, you need to give South credit. They are diehard, and they will bleed. They will die for their team, and I love that about South. The only reason I left South, I would never have left South. Never. I mean, I did not want to leave them. They got kicked out of the competition. I was only, I think, 16 or 17 at the time, and I was just about to make that transition into the top grade, into the top 30. So it was a big time for me. I remember my Uncle George actually said to me, he goes, "Brave, we're gone." He goes, "Mate, you're going to have to go." You know, it was the hardest decision. I remember ringing George and, you know, I was crying on the phone. It was really tough. And I copped a lot of backlash from it too, from you know, from fans and locals. And, you know, because I lived in Malabar.
How'd you go in the first derby when you ran out the Roosters colour?
What was it like for you?
I hadn't even gone there yet. I announced that I was going to the Roosters and I was still at the Bulldogs and we played South a week after. I think it was a week or two after. They spat on me. They honestly spat on me in the tunnel, and every time I touched the ball, they booed the shit out of me. it was really hard for me. Like we can look back at it, and everyone they all still whatever. But as a young bloke, you know, it was tough. You know, it was really tough because it was a decision I had to make that I didn't really want to make at the time, and they've never forgotten it either. And it goes on.
What about that? He was a little bit emotional there speaking. He was on the phone to Uncle George Piggins and he was in tears. Now, he's quite hated by Rabbitohs fans and, look, they've got their points. I understand that. He had a chance to come here and he didn't. But the first opportunity was taken away from him and he was a South supporter.
Yeah, it was always his dream.
It was his dream to come here and it got taken away from him. So that wasn't his fault. And then the next time when it came around, he was an Origin player and we didn't have any players and you put yourself in his shoes, the decision he had to make. And it was a tough one. And he got spat on and all that. So I do feel a bit sorry for him. And he's a local guy. He's a good guy now. I see him at the golf courses around. He manages a few golfers and that. So
it just shows how important this rivalry is between the Roosters and the Rabbitohs. Because when there was no spot for Brace at the Rabbitohs, George, his uncle, said, "You're not going to the Roosters. You're going to a different club." And he ended up signing with the Bulldogs. And he was fortunate because he won a premiership a couple of years later. But it was good to George instructed him not to go to the Roosters. But he did eventually end up there. And George wasn't too happy. Brace was one of the hardest phone calls he had to make when he had to call George and tell him that he was signing with the Roosters.
Yeah, well, I've always had a soft spot for Brave. I know a lot of fellow Rabbitohs fans have given it to him because I went to school with his older brother. I went to Marsland. He was a Marsland attendant, Brave, but he's a bit younger than me. I think he never got there by the time I left. But his older brother, Damon, he's not around with him. Real good bloke. Finished up being a real estate agent. He was a good top football player himself, for very good hooker. Used to tackle the house down. So, you know, I always just deep down wanted to see him play for the Rabbitohs. It never ended up eventuating. But boys, I might pose a little question to you about which South junior that never played for the Rabbitohs did you always want to see play in the red and green?
Yeah, well, I'll go first there. I always think of the great Jimmy Dimmick as the one that got away. And what a player he was.
Great ball playing forward.
Our loss was the Bulldogs game. And, you know, we're good mates of Jimmy and he's just a great character. And I also think that he might find himself in a coaching role, a head coaching role soon. He's been serving his apprenticeship for quite a long time now at a variety of clubs. And it'd be good to see him come
home. Las Vegas now.
He is up there. But it'd be good to see him come home to the Bunnies maybe one day and work with Jason Demetriou and then, you know, maybe take over the reins from Jason maybe in the future somewhere.
That would be good.
He's a good man, Jimmy. Yeah, he's a good man, and that's one that we let slip. There's probably a number of players that we can mention. Another one that got under our guard or got away from us, went to the Bulldogs as well. So a lot of these players, they don't sign with South, but they go to the Bulldogs. And another one, Rennie Matua, another local junior, went on to win a competition and play for his country. From the Bulldogs. You know, that's another one that comes to mention.
Yeah, he was fantastic. Rennie, and it's under the same circumstances. He was the same age. Him and Braith are great mates still to this day, and come through the juniors together, and probably never got the opportunity to play for South. Anyway.
So we'll wrap it up because we don't want to go on too long because of this sound quality. Now, you might have noticed
You don't want the Chaps Rabbitohs Rooster Stat of the Week?
Oh, actually, do. Before we do that, we've got to hear that.
Before we get Mabo to take us out, boys, while we were bagging the Roosters a little bit, I probably do jump on top of them a little bit from time to time, but that's what South supporters do, and I'll continue to do that. Now, I was looking at, obviously, we only played two rounds this year in 2020. I was having a look at how many points they scored with Latrell and Cronk, Cooper Cronk, in 2018, 2019. Now, in 2018, they scored 21 points on average over those first two games. 2019, they scored 19 points on average at two tough games. But the first two games of this year, they've only averaged 10 points a game. That's a massive drop-off, boys. That's nearly... They're scoring half as many points without... The legendary Cooper Cronk and the talented Latrell Mitchell, boys. Hey, there's some stats. I have some Rabbitoh supporters out there licking their lips looking at those stats, boys.
Well, that's it. You can't take one of the greatest halfbacks to play the game away and expect it not to change. They've thrown a young kid in there that, you know, he's got a lot of ability, but it remains to be seen if he can become a star in the NRL like some of the other great halfbacks. So, yeah, no sympathy here.
Yeah, well, that'll be the same when Cameron Smith retires from Melbourne. You watch. They won't be as good when Cameron Smith goes. But just one thing, guys, I just got a message from a young bloke, Jaden. Their job at Freight is safe at the moment. They've just been told that they're too busy and they can't put anyone off. Yep, Qantas Freight, well done. They're not being stood down just at this point of time. So
yeah.
And it's good for the Bay Street Botany. You can pay the board.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just got a little text through then. Curtis Scott just caught an 8 or 10 foot bear. Was it a bull shark out there just off Bear Island there in the middle of Botany Bay? I just got a photo. It's a doozy there, boys. I'll send it across to you.
We'll put that
on Curtis Scott's Instagram if you want to have a look at the size of a giant shark caught in Botany Bay.
Well, let's put that on our episode webpage.
And you want to go surfing, chap?
Oh, well, there's one out, isn't there? There's one less to worry about. Yeah, all right, boys. Another big week in Australia and around the world, and let's hope things start to settle down, and we'll see you in 7 days. Listeners out there, we'll have a chat to you in 7 days' time.
Yeah, guys, stay safe, and take us out, Mover.
Rabbitohs Radio is hosted by Grant Chappell, Darren Brown, and me, Steve Maven, and is brought to you by Export Freight Systems, The Juniors, NG Farah, Rise Foundation, and Bourke Street Bakery. For more information on this episode, click the episode webpage in the show notes, and please remember to subscribe and leave us a review. We'd also like you to follow our Rabbitohs Radio Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube channel. We'll be back next week with another episode, and up the mighty Rabbitohs.